I want to share with you my text, and then I've got a few places I'm going to be going to in Scripture today. But my text is found in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." Don't you want to pray according to His will? Yes. Now, this message started way back in February. This has been building in my spirit for several months. As I was reading in my devotional from Ezekiel chapter 37, this is the chapter about the valley of dry bones and the prophet Ezekiel. God showed Ezekiel a valley of dry bones. Now, this message is not about that valley of dry bones, but it starts there because in verse number 4, God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. In fact, let me look it up here in Scripture. Verse 3, he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life." And he tells him more what to say. So verse 7, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone." Now, this scripture got me because I said to the Lord in my devotions, I said, "Lord, you prompted Ezekiel what to say. He then said it, and then you did the miracle of bringing the bones to life." I said, "You did everything, but you didn't do anything till after Ezekiel said it." So my question to the Lord is, why do you even need Ezekiel in this story? You told him what to say, and then you did it. And it really got me because I kept looking at this and said, why do you even need Ezekiel? You wanted the bones to come to life. You are the one that did the miracle. And then it hit me. It hit me that God chooses to do wonderful, miraculous, powerful things through people. God doesn't need or have to, but He chooses to use people. He used Ezekiel in that powerful moment to do a miracle of bringing those bones to life. Isn't it amazing that God chooses to do every miracle, you can look it up in the Bible, through human interaction? It's amazing to me. God wants to partner with people. Now, I remember several years ago when I was doing an outreach, brought my youth group. This is many, many years ago. And there was a speaker that was helping us with this outreach. This was in Kansas City. His name was Reggie Dabbs. Some of you know Reggie from Forward Conference, some of the youth. He's an evangelist that speaks all over the world to youth and middle school and high school students. And in this particular outreach, Reggie Dabbs says, "Now, Perry, I want you to go to the basketball court." I like basketball. He says, because we were doing an outreach in the park, and he was going to be speaking at the top of the hill, and at the bottom of the hill, there was a basketball court. He says, "Now, Perry, at one point while I'm speaking, I want you to grab the basketball from the game, and I'm going to speak to the basketball players." So he's speaking up there, and I'm trying to pay attention, playing ball and listening. And at one certain moment, he says, "Now, you guys on the basketball court." So I said, "Hey, can I have the ball?" They looked at me. I said, "Hey, let me have the ball real quick. So I got the ball, I said, hey, can you listen to this guy? And he spoke words to this basketball, these guys playing ball in the middle of the day in Kansas City. And it was cool because Reggie Dabbs wanted to partner with little old me. So we partnered together that day in ministry. And I thought, how cool is it that Reggie Dabbs wanted to partner with me? But then I began to think as I was preparing this message, how cool is it that God wants to partner with you and I? It's amazing. He doesn't need us. He doesn't have to have us. I said it again, but he wants to partner with you and I. I begin to think of the different miracles in the Bible. The flood. God didn't build the ark. Who did? He asked Noah to build the ark. The walls of Jericho fell down because of God's power, but he asked the people to march around them. I mean, human interaction with miracles. Obedience brought the miracles. One of my favorites is Moses in the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14. Moses finds himself on the edge of the Red Sea. The water's in front of him. It's deep. It's wet because water's wet. In the back, there's about 2 million people that are here. And behind them is Pharaoh's army marching towards them. And so Moses is hearing all the complaints of the people. Moses, why did you bring us into this land? We could have stayed in Egypt. It would have been much better for us to stay there, die there. It would be much better. And he's hearing all his complaints. And Moses turns to them and he says, be still and you will see the miracle of God. And God says something very interesting to him. He says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch your hand towards the sea. And divide the water so that the Israelites can go across. So once again, I said, Lord, if you're going to do the miracle, why have Moses do this? Okay, I'm going to try that again. Let's see if it has a lot of power here in this church. Okay, he's holding up a stick. And seriously, Lord, what is the purpose of this? Once again, God was using mankind to bring about his power and glory. There's no power in the stick by itself. There's no power in just doing this. I mean, I can do this all day long. I can direct. I can hit you on the head and probably get more power out of you. But God said, raise your staff and your hand. You see, there was possibly 2 million people watching Moses. And they were watching the miracle that took place. You see, when we do even the foolish and we do the action that God tells us to do, miracles begin to happen. Sometimes God's going to ask you to step out and do something that might look foolish to everybody, but miracles will take place. Today, I want to encourage you that God is looking for partners, but there's action required. There's action required. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful that you have brought this people here for such a time as this. Lord, I pray that together we will be a team that are moving through Tallahassee, Crawfordville, Leon County, Wakulla County, wherever we come from. And I pray that we will be a team of the supernatural power of God. And I thank you that you have chosen to use little old us in the working of your miracles. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That staff does not have any power, but when it becomes obedience in the arms of the man or the woman of God, God wants to do great things. So I'm going to start off this next part by saying something that might throw you off. Now, Pastor was doing a good job of preaching just a few minutes ago. And he said that we're going to pray. And I'm going to say something here about prayer. Sometimes prayer is not enough. Now, we need more prayer. I need more prayer. You need more prayer. Look at your neighbor and say, you need a whole lot of prayer. The church needs to seek God even more. But let me tell you, that prayer will lead us to action, which will lead us to even more prayer. And I believe that that prayer, that action, will not be for internal, but will be for outside, be for other people. This kind of asking requires faith. This is where faith steps in. Let me go back to my text verse, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Everybody say confidence. When you pray, do you pray with confidence? When you pray, do you pray knowing the will of God? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So how do we know his will? By knowing his presence and praying. How do we know if we should pray? Let me ask you this. Did Ezekiel need to know if it was the will of God for him to prophesy over these bones? Lord, should I prophesy over these bones? No, why? Because God told him to do it. Did Moses say, Lord, is it your will for me to raise that staff? No. He knew it was God's will because God told him to do it. You see, church, as we get in tune with God, as we are praying more and seeking more, we're going to know the will of God, and we're going to be so in tune with him that we are going to pray and do his will, but there's going to be action required. Should I witness to my neighbor? Let's see. Does God want all people to be saved? Yes. Should I pray for the sick person? Yes. Church, yes, yes, yes. This kind of asking comes with a faith, prayer and action tied together. James says, show me your faith and I will show you my actions by my, or my faith by my actions. Praise God. There's a time for prayer and there's a time for action. Moses said, God, help us. And he was crying out to the Lord. And God said, in Exodus 14:15, why are you crying out to me? That's praying. He says, tell the Israelites to move forward, raise your staff and stretch your hands. So sometimes you need to quit still praying and start action praying. Quit still praying and start action praying. So number one, we need to hear God's command or see the need. Sometimes when you see a need, that's God speaking to you that there's something going on. You know, when I see the trash filled at my house, I don't say, huh, let's get together and pray about it, family. What I say is, JP, the trash is full, come on. And he runs over there, he goes, ugh, grabs it. Dad, I can't lift it. But we put action to it. You see, sometimes we've made the things of God so mystery. But God says if you see a need, there's more than just seeing it. The second point is act upon it. Do it. Speak it. Live it. Whatever it is, take action. You see, God requires a response. Everybody say, a response. Oh, you can ask my wife. She'll tell you she wants our kids to respond. How many know what I'm talking about? whether it's to you or it's at a restaurant, the waiter says, now what would you like? Say it.
Chicken nuggets and fries.
Or if it's at the house, can somebody bring me a towel or can somebody do this? And no one responds. You see, church, God is the same way. He wants and requires a response. When he says do it, respond. When he gives you the need, respond. That's why pastors ask for a response. They ask for maybe a hand raised or a come down to the front. Why? Because if you respond, that means you've heard and you are putting action to what you've heard. See, and God doesn't want us just to sit back and say, well, how many have ever done this in church? The conviction of the Holy Spirit's been upon you, and the pastor says, and you say, I'll just do it quietly. I'll just do it later. How many have found that if you've ever said that, you've never done it? Because if you don't respond in the moment, if you don't respond when you're supposed to, many times we don't do it at all. You know, it's not always easy to respond. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. I remember the last time, and if I've shared this before, forgive me, but I remember the last time that I said these words, and please do not be offended at this. But I said those famous words, if you need anything, let me know. I was in a hospital in St. Louis. I was visiting a family. There was a husband and wife and their young son. They were in an accident, and he had injured himself in the car, and they were taking care of him. And I went up there and had a great visit with them, and we played some games and had some fun. And as I was leaving, I said those words, if you need anything, let me know. And right then, the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, you know, they'll never ask. And I was like, yes, no. It's the truth, though. Conviction came on me. I knew that they were struggling with money, and I knew they had to buy lunch, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, give them the $20 in your wallet. And I said, but that's my only $20 in my wallet. So I pulled out my wallet and I said, hey, just wanted to give you this $20. I know you guys got to eat lunch, blah, blah, blah. Here it is. And as I walked out of that hospital, I made a commitment that I would never say that again. Not because I was trying to avoid saying it or avoid what God was wanting me to do. But I said to myself, if I can meet a need, I would rather meet it right now. Because if you need anything, let me know. Sounds great, but $20 is worth a lot more than that. Sometimes you need to put action with your words. There may be somebody that needs a $5 bill. There may be someone that needs a hand laid upon their shoulder and prayed for them. And we always say, you know, I'll be praying for you. Well, why not stop right there and pray for them? Can you imagine Jesus stopping the crowd? Crowds, they're loud. And the blind man is calling him. And I talked about the blind man last time I was up here. And he walks over to the blind man. Everybody's like, shh, shh, shh. He leans down. Hey, if you need anything, let me know. Jesus was going to meet the need right there. Yeah. You see, church, action is required. Right. If God wanted Ezekiel to prophesy, right then, if God wanted Moses to hold it up right then we in this modern age, we should be a people of action of right now, right then. Now, there may be a time to wait, and that's between you and God, but many times he gives you that need. He gives you that prompting because of the right now. God is looking for people who will obey him. The simple fact is obedience to God. No matter how foolish it may look to 2 million people, no matter what it may look like, God is listening for obedience. It might be small, I heard you say it. It might be big, but obey him. You want to see miracles in your workplace, your church, or your family? Start listening to the voice of God. If you will listen, he will prompt you. Start taking action and you will see miracles begin to take place. I believe this with all my heart. The Holy Spirit is wanting to talk with us all the time. I believe the Holy Spirit is at work. If we would stop and just listen. If we would stop and just listen all around us. A couple months ago, I was in the store and I saw one of my neighbors. And as we talked, I said, "Hey, you're my neighbor." And he goes, "Yeah." And and he wasn't really quite sure. And I said, "Hey, just want to say hey." And I felt the Lord say, "Pray for him, but you got to tell him you're praying for him." So this was after the store. And I would see him as I'm walking or biking or with the kids or And I would see him, and I made the mistake of telling my daughter, Catherine. And I said, you know, God really wants me to pray for this guy, and I'm supposed to talk to him about it. So she would ask me, "Daddy, have you talked to him yet? Daddy, have you talked? No. Daddy? Well, I did finally get a chance to talk to him. So usually I'm walking with my dog and he has cats and I just didn't want there to be a problem and, you know, all these excuses. And so finally I said, "Hey, remember I saw you at the store a little while back and what's your name?" And he goes, "My name is Barry." Barry. See, now I can remember that. I said, "Barry, I just got to tell you that I felt led of the Lord to pray for you. Is there anything I could pray with you about?" He looked at me strange. "No. Well, I just wanted to let you know that I'm praying for you." And he told me a little bit. And you see, now I can begin the conversation with him as we go by, "Barry." And I'm hoping that one day he'll say, "You know what? There is something. I don't know what God's leading you to do. I don't know what God's wanting you to step out in faith." You might get strange looks like, "Huh?" Yeah. But that's okay. Moses got strange looks. Ezekiel prophesying to bones got strange looks. But if we want to see God move, we've got to step out. Now I'm going to tell you something. God is not going to change the diapers in the nursery. God is not going to play the piano or the trumpet. He's partnering with you and I. God's not going to work in youth ministry, kids ministry, or the food pantry. You see, God lets us do that. He empowers us, and he gives us the ability and the power to do that. But God says that we are to do that. I was talking with Pastor, and he shared this verse with me, and I wanted to share it with you. Acts chapter 9, verse 32 through 35. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Now look at what Peter says, if you got that verse, verse 33. "Aeneas," Peter said, "Jesus Christ heals you." Now, he saw a man sick, he saw a man paralyzed, and he said, "Jesus heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Look what God did through this healing. He didn't have to pray about if it's the Lord's will. He was already in tune with God. Because Peter had the revelation that God wants to partner with me. And anywhere I go, I bring the power of God. Anywhere I go, I'm going to bring the glory of God, the healing of God. Church, we've lost that today in our life. We've almost become a beggar of God. Lord, do you, please save them. And God wants to save them. Please heal them. God wants to touch and heal. So my question to you, will you partner with God? There's going to be action required. You might look foolish at times, but are you ready, Freedom Church, to partner with God? You can't sit on the sidelines with God. You're going to have to get involved, maybe even get your hands dirty. Listen, and then see the need. Then do it. As we were at Forward Conference, I'm going to close with this. I was the driver, had my vehicle, everybody else was in their bus. The bus. And I was getting supplies, water and different things. And at the checkout counter, there was this young lady. I'm telling you what, God, he will do this all the time if you allow him to. This young lady says, what is all this for? I said, well, we're at a youth conference. She goes, youth conference? Cool. What is it? And I begin to tell her a little bit about it. I said, there's 13,000 youth and adults there just praising the Lord. She goes, wow. She goes, I haven't gone to church all year. But my friend on Monday, and this was on Friday, she said, my friend on Monday just asked me to go to church for the first time this year. And as she began to talk about what was going on in life, tears began to come down, and we had customers coming behind, and I quickly had prayer with her. And I probably will never see her again. I can't even remember her name. But it's like Pastor said, a moment of faith that's spoken could change a destiny. And she looked at me and she said, thank you so much for coming through my line. She was only about 20 years old. You see, if we're willing, those things God wants to do in your and my life all the time, if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to listen and obey. So many times I find myself just going to the checkout line. Dun, 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 and there's people all around us. Stop and listen because there's going to be action required. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we're so thankful that you've chosen to use us. You've chosen to use us to be instruments of your grace and your mercy and your power. Lord, there's people all around us that are in desperate need of the power of God, and you want to work through us. God, forgive us for being so caught up in ourselves that we don't hear you, we don't see the need. God, there's people all around us that need the power and the love and the grace of God. I'm gonna ask you to stand right now. See, that's a response right there. I've got two questions to ask you, and we're gonna respond. Two things. Number one, maybe you're here today, and Pastor even alluded to it earlier. If you need something from God, I'm going to ask you to move, to step out and to move into these altars. If you need something from God for your family, your marriage, your life, your jobs, whatever it is, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to step out. in faith. Because your response might be the obedience that God needs. Maybe you need salvation. I'm not right with God. Step out. Hallelujah. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to ask you if you're willing to partner with God. Let's take some moments before we leave today and say, God, I'm willing. Here I am. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Everybody say yes. Amazing things happen when we say yes. Yes, Lord. I want you to come. Number one, if you need something from God, I want you to come right now. Say yes. Number two, if you're willing to say yes to the Lord, I'm going to be a partner with God. Will you come? Will you come? And let's just say yes to the Lord.